Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome to HRN on Tour at South by Southwest 2023. I'm Christine Sykes Lowe, and today I am joined by Iffy Roma. She's one of the producers of the 2023 Future of Food here in Austin, Texas, in South by Southwest. So, Iffy, tell me about the genesis of this event, because we were here last year and we interviewed quite a few of your cohorts, and we had a good time talking about many different things of what brought this together. Actually ate a cricket on air, which was interesting. But tell me how this has evolved. I know that you've been involved for the past 3 years, and it was partially online, and then it went into a hybrid event last year, and now it's full force in person.
Thank you for the question. I'll start at the inception of this, but actually a little bit before that. So South by Southwest used to have a food track, and then in 2020, they were not going to have a food track. And so RNA, our co-organizer and vision leader of Future of Food, was like, no, we need to have food. Food is important. Let's do a side event. Let's call it the Future of Food. So started to do that planning, but then the pandemic hit, of course. But once we all opened back up, we were like, let's do this event. It was that first year. So we did it hybrid and was all, well, first year, we did it all online, which was awesome. So many different people being able to video in and talk and connect with people digitally. But then we opened up last year where you got to eat the cricket.
Yes.
And yeah, that was the first year getting to do that live here and also streaming it to see a lot of people being able to catch this everywhere. And what makes our events different is that we are free and open to the public. Same thing with all of our streaming. It's completely open source knowledge and it's out there because our mission is to disperse information. Little Herds, which is the organizing nonprofit that runs Future of Food, is an educational nonprofit at heart. Originally started to educate people on the sustainability of insects and insect agriculture as being a benefit to our food system. But once the pandemic hit, switched from eating bugs to just helping people eat, and this is where we find ourselves now.
Well, it's a full day of programming, 2 days, am I correct? 2 days complete programming. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about the guests you had, the speakers you had, what a full day looks like at the Food Summit?
Ooh, okay. Well, so Future Food is an event series, and right now we have popped up at South By for the last 3 years, like we've talked about. We've also popped up a little bit at some different, like Farm Share, one of our partners. They're kind of outdoor festivals, and so we can scale up and scale down. This is our full kind of weekend festival of Future of Food, mm-hmm. but we are doing more and more smaller events. In terms of full programming, when it comes to this weekend and when we're doing this at South by Southwest, I mean, just so many panels, you know. And this year what was so interesting is that because the food track came back, there was so much energy getting folks to the official South by Southwest Center, getting on those stages, that Little Herds and Future of Food team worked with folks in the food industry and food system to submit their panels. So we were actually doing panel pickers earlier and helping people get their panels together, craft the names, bring the people on stage to curate these really interesting conversations. And so, you know, not everybody can get on the official South by Southwest stage. However, we get to have a little bit more control over our programming. And what we're most excited about is that we can create space for smaller nonprofits or just companies that are getting out there, CPGs, folks like that, and then celebrity activists like Andrew Zimmern and, you know, Shweta Chakraborty, who's with We Don't Have Time. You know, we have some heavy hitters across the stage. There's just everybody that comes to our stage.
And you've mentioned the name RNA, for those who don't know who that is, Little Herds founder, correct?
Yes, Robert Nathan Allen, Little Herds founder, started back in like 2014, like I said, with his love of insects and educating the community about that. But he's an organizer and a connector. And so he's all about helping nonprofits connect to for-profit companies and really distributing the funds to be able to make the food system work better and help people eat.
Well, when I came here yesterday, the energy was pretty high. There was a lot of people here, and you had congruently, you had vendors doing samples of different foods between nonprofits, farmers, independent product makers. We had a full panel up on stage being filmed, doing this simultaneously as all this was going on. It was a lot of activity. So exciting. And it's here at the South by Southwest Center, which is their headquarters, correct? So in and out with a lot of people doing a lot of different things. Where do you see this growing over the next several years? Do you see, have a vision, your group?
Ooh, thank you for that question. Yeah. Yes. So just to talk a little bit about the outdoor inside, we really wanted this field day activity out there and being able to showcase and have people have an interactive experience, because the organizers, the producing company here that works for Little Herds is Ministry of Muse. It's my event company, and we are collaborators and we're artists. And so we want every part of this to feel artistic, to the way that we're displaying the food and who we're bringing in. And when we're bringing in those folks in the community to do stands outside, we're like, hey, what's the way that we can make this educational, and how can we make this artistic? Because we want people to leave feeling inspired, and that's the number one goal. Of course, you can come in here and you can listen to the panels, and that's awesome. And you can bring your kids, and all people of all different ages kind of have a way to plug into the space, which can feel a little different at other food conferences. When it comes to the vision here, scaling up and scaling down. So this feels like it's our festival, a 2-day festival as of now, could move into a couple of days, you know, can grow.
Right.
Definitely need more support and funding to do that. We are a small, scrappy, mighty team. I called in a lot of friend favors to make this happen. And thank you, friends.
Always got to give the shout out to the friends.
Got to give the shout out to the friends, you know, friends of food.
Yeah.
But we want to be able to also curate shorter, intimate events and bring kind of like future of food installations to other different festivals, any type of festival, really. It can be a yoga festival. It can be a, you know, government festival where people are coming together and talking at a more government level too, but we can bring the fun and the artistry and the inspiration because we believe that that is where people connect. When we feel inspired, then we take action and then we make change. Did that answer your question?
Yes. And it's an ever-evolving process. And really, the sky's the limit if you think about it. But it's always down to resources and time and, you know, not lack of passion, certainly.
Not lack of passion. Yeah, we really want to follow the inspiration and the partners who want to work with us and the products that want to be featured, not just for what they are, but because of how and why they were created. You know, it's the story behind it. And nowadays we can go to a store and we are overwhelmed with the amount of choices. There is just so many choices out there. It can be hard to choose what is going to make your body feel good. It can be even harder to even understand what that's going to be. And so we want to create events that do that and make it accessible and understandable and digestible.
Well, that's the perfect cap on that one, you know. Well, Iffy, thank you for your time. Really appreciate you sitting down and talking with us. I know you've had a very busy few days, so appreciated. And we look forward to keeping a pulse on what's happening with the Food Summit.
Yeah, thank you so much. And if you want to follow the Future of Food, please visit our website, thefutureoffood.at. And we are fundraising to keep this going. So click on our Friends of Food page and let's get connected.
Thanks for listening to HRN's coverage of South by Southwest 2023. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, HRN on Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates, to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.